It's not... We're going to have some words with Mr. Davies. It's not about the size of the crowd. It's the angle you photograph it from.
I know it's a drinking show, but I consider it to be very wholesome, very family-friendly. Sometimes we will have non-alcoholic beverages. Sometimes we will even have children's books. Before we get to my very special guest with his very special children's book, you need to get this game, yes or no. You get to watch it, you participate virtually, you can participate in real life, in the flesh. If you go to dailywire.com/shop, we did an initial run of this. We seriously underestimated how many of you would want to host a drinking game in your home. We are selling out very quickly of the pre-orders, so go to dailywire.com/shop. Play the yes or no game with your loved ones in the flesh. I have one of my loved ones in the flesh. That would be Sean Spicer. Sean.
I was hoping it was me.
I said, where's my loved one?
Yes,
get this man out of here. You are here. I'm so glad that you're here in person. You have brought me your new children's book.
Yes.
The Parrots Go Bananas.
It's targeted towards children 4 to 12. And you're just outside the age range, but close enough.
I have the maturity of someone under 4.
Yeah, it's all about age. It's how old you act and think.
And so identify.
We're good. And plus, I think a lot of reporters can benefit from it. So it's about fake news. So there's a wide range. It's not just what's on the label.
We also specialize around these parts of children's books that can be appreciated adults as
exactly.
well. I'm also glad, finally, we have another mackerel-snapping papist on. During Lent, I've decided, this is the first time ever in my whole life, I've decided not to drink.
Oh, this is a first for you.
This is a first ever. And it's not as hard as I thought. I don't have the shakes 24 hours a day. But you now also have a fruity-looking non-alcoholic beverage.
Yeah. I've done it for over 30 years.
Really? Yeah. Every time at Lent?
Yeah, at Lent.
Really?
Yeah. So it's been over 30 years.
One time for Lent, I actually gave up these fruity non-alcoholic beverages, and it was almost harder because during the day, I don't usually start with an eye opener of whiskey in the morning or something.
Yeah.
But that's very impressive. So you know you're not an alcoholic.
No, I know that I can do like 40, whatever, you know, counting Sundays, it's like 45 days.
Right.
I'm not really sure that that's the medical definition of that. But
that's what I'm going with.
Okay, I'll subscribe to that.
So usually if there's a woman on the show, she will go first. You are a man, so I will go first. Shall we begin?
We shall.
Scaramucci is a Fed. Scaramucci is a Fed. I'm going to say that you would say yes because he was clearly an agent of the federal government for 11 days.
For a lot of reasons, I'm going to say no. I think a lot enough of you that I think that you would say no as well.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I would say no. He burned bright. He burned hot. And then he was out of the White House.
I just don't know that the feds, I think that there's a standard. So I'll leave it at that.
This is very diplomatic of you.
Thank you. It's Lent.
It's Lent. Yeah. We'll have you back after Easter. You can go more into detail. I'm going to drink anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever this fruity concoction is, it's very enjoyable.
Yeah.
So now you go.
Yes. It's true what they say about the United States Navy Reserves.
Is they Winston Churchill? Is they... Well, okay, I'll just answer.
I know, this is... I'm trying to get inside of your head right now.
Let me know if you succeed.
I know, there's something preventing that. Oh, my apologies.
Did I get it right?
No. I thought that you were going to guess yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, see, this was the hardest part, is that I didn't know, I didn't have any presumptions. So it was a flip of the coin,
mm-hmm.
to be fair. And I equally went with the coin flip.
So You know what Winston Churchill said about the Navy?
Sure.
Now, I don't know, does that apply to the
That's why
United
I was
States?
Saying this
does it apply to the reserves?
The reserve, that's why I was a little that's this is where I mm-hmm. think your team was throwing a
There's so many
ball.
Layers.
Yeah, that's why I was like I don't the curveball with a twist.
Do you think what Churchill said about the Navy is true? Just generally?
He's a truth teller. He's a truth teller.
About all three, rum, sodomy, and the lash. There's, yes. Yeah.
I believe it is yours, sir. I'm sorry, there are two questions in. I'm very concerned about the writer.
I had those concerns. They were affirmed, and
yeah.
We keep Mr. Davies around.
I'm just
really
wondering
as a charity
what sites he's searching on the internet.
I hope he uses ExpressVPN.
Yeah, no, I'm just hoping that it's not a Daily Wire computer. This explains a lot of the spam you guys are getting. There's definitely
Mr. Davies. Is there something you want to tell us? Okay, Dancing with the Stars in woke Hollywood is like wrapping your toes in bacon and playing footsie with a tiger. It's very dangerous. Okay. What would you say? You answered correctly for me.
You answered correctly for me.
You seem to dance very well.
Well, that's a lie. No, then you didn't watch the show. I also think
relatively.
I think that if we had played this game prior to being on the show, I might have answered differently. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the experience thoroughly.
Yeah.
And so therefore, what I would have thought of my experience before going on versus after, very different.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed all of the people that I interacted with. So. I didn't.
You did seem to get on well with it. I did sort of wonder when it was announced, you know, that you
what,
were on the
show. What problem I have.
That they, yes, you know, yeah.
Whether the medication did run out.
Yeah. Call your doctor. Yeah. And yeah. But no, you seemed to get on pretty well with them.
I did. I loved it. And I think I went in eyes wide open, and that was the thing. Mm-hmm. And I also think, look, that negotiation was 3 years in the running. And I don't mean it wasn't mm-hmm. But my point is that I developed some relationships where there was a back and forth where I felt confident that this was not a setup, that there were people who generally thought, hey, this could be a fun experience. And, you know, we'd gotten to know each other, and I thought, okay, well, this isn't going to go that bad.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
All right. It's not. We're going to have some words with Mr. Davies. It's not about the size of the crowd. It's the angle you photograph it from. Oh.
Well, how would you answer? Correct.
Incorrect. I think that you can make the perception does make a difference. You can.
Okay.
So,
but nevertheless, would you not argue, as I would, if you argue this, I would defend you as arguing this.
Thank you.
It was the largest crowd ever, okay? If you just, we're talking about the numbers of eyeballs on the inauguration, it was the largest one ever.
Oh, my God. This is probably the most litigated thing that I've had to deal with. And unfortunately, we don't have the hours necessary to. But I've made the case, and the thing, I mean, the quick version of this is the goal at that day was to basically say kind of what you're saying, which is it wasn't just about, if you actually look at the words, it wasn't about just saying, hey, here's the number of people in the National Mall. It was about the audience size meeting, and there were people that were watching it online. There were frankly technological advances that didn't occur right during the Obama or the George Washington or Abe Lincoln years.
Right.
So therefore, you could stream things on platforms that didn't exist. Therefore, I thought it was pretty safe.
If we're talking about the audience for my show in the room, it is at most one person. If we're talking about the audience for my show digitally, it's at least four or five people, okay? So we're talking about the majority of my show is online. You're going to tell me that's not the audience? That was such a bogus attack on you.
Well,
Thank you.
I will say that there might not have been the most artful delivery, but thank you.
As someone who has occasionally been attacked in the press for...
the funny thing is, I'm pretty sure I did come across something.
I couldn't even remember the topic now. But you know, the libs will try to find, they'll go word for word, even if your words are precisely perfectly right. They will either present them in a way that is the least charitable way possible, or they'll just rewrite them.
Right. But it's also, the funny thing is, I love how they'll take what you're saying and make it assume the worst, right?
Yeah.
For lack of a better way to put this. But when someone on the left says it, they go, well, you know what they meant was. And I'm like, wait a second.
Oh,
this is insane. I mean, it was funny. In my first book, I had this fact check that I was talking about, and I quoted Mike Pence. He was referring to this jobs report, and he said, you know, more Americans are working now than ever before.
Yeah.
And it was statistically true. Like, let's call it 200 million people were working, whatever it was. And he said that. The Washington Post fact checker came out and said it lacked context because when you looked at it proportionally to the size of the U.S., and I was like,
he literally said a true thing.
But then they went in and said, but he lacked context because of the proportion of our overall population. And I'm like,
yeah,
you've got to be kidding me.
But if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Well, listen, when you really parse what he was really meaning.
Right. And I took the Amtrak and Snowball said this or Corn Pop or whatever. I mean, like, there are literal, like, I got shot at here and Mandela took me out of jail. I mean, like, those are
snipers,
like,
in Boston.
Yeah, those are, like, literally not true things. My son, I didn't talk to him about his business associates. I mean, none of that stuff. This might not be my laptop.
Yeah.
None of that stuff, you know.
Yeah, forget about the context. Yeah. He's probably telling the truth. Right. And, you know, everyone talks about Corn Pop, but Snowball.
That's
he was the real capo di tutti capi.
No. And also, he's the mastermind. He gets off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is, at the very least, onto something when he tweeted, aliens built the pyramids of, referencing the Great Pyramid of Giza. I actually have very strong thoughts on this. Recently strong thoughts. But
is that because, and I know, just so I understand the context before I answer, is that because the Giza sheets are from there?
The softest.
Yeah, they are.
It, not explainable if it's merely a product of humans.
Okay, because I just want to, this helps me answer. I'm going with yes.
Yes, I say yes as well.
Okay.
You were correct.
Then you are correct. This one.
My thought though is,
I'm getting thirsty, so I need to.
You got to get something wrong. My thought is, it's not aliens because aliens aren't real, but he's onto something in that when most people talk about aliens, I think they're talking about demons, sightings, or just their imagination. The libs can't make sense of demons because they don't have much of a sense of the spiritual world, so it has to be a physical.
Oh, see, I was just thinking, does Elon think that more than is it true?
Well, he thinks it, but I think he's onto something in that.
Oh, see, that was, because I actually was answering it in the context of, do you think he thinks that?
And do you think he's onto something?
I really hadn't thought that much about it as much as I think that, like, he's kind of thinking kind of that
way. So here's what I wonder is, when they were building the pyramids, and they say, well, how on earth did they do this? I don't want to seem like the guy on the History Channel who attributes demons. I think they worshipped demons, and I think demons play all sorts of little tricks, and they're very smart. They're nothing compared to God, but, you know, they do work little tricks in the world. Increasingly, you're seeing occult practices, or people are becoming reacquainted with this idea. And if you told me that there was weird demon stuff going on in these ancient pagan cultures, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm going to spend a lot more time on the internet.
Your Wikipedia rabbit hole this evening is going to be hours.
Yeah, I'm going down this one.
I think there's strong evidence for it. You let me know.
Right.
Let me know. Obviously, it'll be after the game. You're up.
Okay. White hate is now more widely accepted than the 2020 election results. This is a gimme.
Oh, that's... Hold on. I mean, I...
Wait,
okay,
wait.
So
I don't even... I'm not hesitating.
Okay, you're right. I was trying to parse double and triple negatives here and all sort of...
Oh, no.
But
that's
you're right.
Straight up.
You're right. It's obviously... It's not only accepted. I mean, it's...
Right.
Taught in schools, it's taught.
Yeah, of course. Shouldn't be, that's a layup.
You're right.
That Mr. Davies there clearly got bored and was like, oh, I gotta go.
Just give me a gimme. Yeah. I was trying to think if there were any, no, but you're right.
I've run out of stuff.
You're right.
Yeah.
It is.
This is what making me wonder what's next, because right now, it is tasty.
It is, I know. Yeah. Maybe there is something.
I was going to say,
we knew that you weren't drinking for Lent, but we figured, okay, at least a little ketamine, angel dust.
This doesn't explain, yeah. Okay.
The most entertaining press secretary from the past 15 years is sitting at this table. What you would answer and what I would answer. Most entertaining of the last 15 years. You got that right. I'm trying to see how charitable you would be to some of the people who have come before and after you.
You're right.
So who is it?
It's KGP, hands down.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that could have been an easy out, just saying, except for.
Yeah. She,
that would have made it a little more challenging, but that's a gimme.
It's a gimme. There have been colorful press secretaries in the past, and you were entertaining in that you brought a lot of personality to the role, but you were not entertaining in the way that KGP is entertaining.
I think part of it is that there's days when you're like, it's like, what time does this briefing end? And she's like, look, we've read the briefings to the brief that Congress has briefed us on. And you're like,
I'm just asking you for a time here.
It was just, what time is it?
We're going to have to get back.
And so, as I've said before, look before, and we've looked at looking, and okay? I'm like, no.
I have no follow-up. I have no follow-up to that
so
question.
You're right. Unfortunately.
We agree. Sad to say.
Your average Democrat voter would be totally fine. By the way, I do love Democrat voter.
Yeah.
It just needles.
No ick.
I do it intentionally.
every time.
One of those times where, like, when they, every time when I was at the RNC, they would say, like, can you please not do that? And I'd be like, oh, definitely, I'll double down.
I wrote a column in college.
Good.
And the editor was a big lib, but he knew that that I like to punch these things up and irritate all the libs on campus. And he goes, Michael, you missed something. You made a huge mistake. You wrote Democratic Party. It's like, hey, thank you for having my best interests here. You're right. Never again will I do it.
So there you go. Okay, your average Democrat voter would be totally fine letting Hunter Biden teach their kids in public school.
I'm going to say you would say yes. You're right, though. I would say no.
I would say no.
You would say no.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because I think that there is a big difference between the average Democratic voter. I still think that that's 55, right? So if we take average, right, that there's still a little bit.
Interesting.
So I think there's a big difference between the loudest voices in the Democratic Party, the ones that we see on Twitter, the ones we hear in Congress, and the ones that are on television, versus the ones that you still walk down the street and they say, I'm a Democratic voter. I think it's becoming increasingly smaller, but that average is probably still just over. I mean, it's becoming, in 2 years or 3 years, I might have to vote differently.
Yep.
But for now, it's still over that 50% mark.
See, you were approaching it from analyzing the data on the voter side. I was taking it from the Hunter side, and I just thought, well, Hunter Biden's a straight white male. There's no way they would be fine with that. Oh. He's a degenerate, but, he's...
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You make a great point,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right about that. Even when you think of voters, right? Voters skew older.
Right.
They skew a little more responsible, usually. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why, because I just thought that
the
average... I think if you were talking about, like, the people on Twitter, they would be like, oh, of course, what's wrong? He's great. Like, he could talk about redemption and painting. And
the little bubbles or whatever, the little circles.
And relationship advice.
Yeah, he's got it.
And strong families. And, coping. I mean, like, there's a lot of but I don't see the average. I still think you can walk down the street in a lot of communities and they'd be like, you know. So
yeah, I think you're right. That's very fair and charitable.
That's you.
That's me.
Yeah. That's what happens when you know.
After a few of these seltzers, I know, a little bit of watermelon. In the long run, it's more dangerous to send your child to public school than it is to let them travel abroad in the Middle East for a year at the age of 17. For sure.
See, I don't, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because and it's a close call. Because unfortunately, I think if you're in 12 grades of public school, there's an indoctrination that you can't undo.
Yeah.
I can protect a kid for a year in the Middle East. If you really wanted to, you could check in every day and I'm going to track you with like this app and load you up with Apple AirTags.
Totally. And right. It depends, you know, are you in a nice part of Beirut or Israel or something? Or
right.
Are you, you know, traipsing through?
And if it was truly like, if you had to think about it, you could do something to say, limit your travel to here. 12 years trying to protect your kid in public school these days with that agenda, there's maybe 1 year or 2 years, you know, a good teacher or a good school, but like you've got to traverse elementary, middle, and high school.
Yeah.
No way.
Wait, so you're landing on it's safer in the Middle East?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought I answered. In the long run, it's more dangerous to send your kid to public school. So you're saying it's more dangerous. So yes, it's the public school is more dangerous.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Okay.
Totally agree. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, I just think even from a physical standpoint, I mean, you go to some like inner city schools, they can be pretty rough and tumble, maybe not quite like the streets of Yemen.
I don't even know that it's inner city.
Yeah, or just anywhere.
The anecdotes that come back now about fights that break out and the inability of administrators and teachers to stop them.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, like the videos that I've seen online of some of these middle school kids acting out and the teacher's inability to stop them.
Yeah.
I don't think it's limited now to inner city. I think this is going well into the suburbs.
I totally agree. And you just think when kids' minds are so malleable when they're really, really young, if you poison that, you know, you hang around.
That's what I'm saying, though. You can't get this. I mean, 12 years of that. And again, I'll give you three that you could maybe protect.
Yep.
But that's still nine.
Totally.
That you're right. Isn't that public school education? Nine, 12.
Yeah. Plus now, you know what the libs do is they say, oh, you got to go to kindergarten. You got to go to pre-K. You got to go to pre-pre-K. I mean, they basically take you from the newborn ward and they throw you into an institution.
People who get upset about nicknames are real tight asses. Oh yeah, I mean, I don't think that there should be any disagreement about that. Yeah. We're both on.
What's your favorite nickname that you've had?
Mr. Awesome.
I just got one the other day. Because I was like, you don't want to make up your own nickname, obviously. So
what?
I fielded it. No, that was what they called you in high school. No, they.
Okay, I didn't know that.
No, hold on.
See, no one told me that.
I was asking these guys in the chat. I said, "What's a good nickname?" You know, and they had all this stuff. I said, "It's kind of lame. It's not cool." This is what they've landed on: Big Mike.
Mm. So can I just ask? Just and I'm not trying to cut, but who's in this chat?
Davies. It's Davies. Davies' mother.
I'm worried.
Not even my wife. Yeah. Obviously, no, she would not tolerate.
It sounds like a bunch of short people.
Yeah, it's really. Huh. Yeah, we've got
Big Mike.
Ben Shapiro. Just a lot of okay. Big Mike over here. Okay. You don't think that's fitting?
Yo, it is. It's very fitting. But yeah, this explains a lot though. Okay.
What?
Yeah, no, it's your call.
I'm up.
You gotta slow down.
I gotta slow down, man. I'm really, it's a lot. Banning transgenderism in public schools will galvanize the left more than it will encourage the base to vote in 2024, assuming the conservative base.
Okay, so banning transgenderism
will help the left more than the right. And just banning it in the public schools will help the left more than it will help the right. I say, no, I think it's a total winner for the right.
Oh.
Total.
I don't.
You don't? Okay.
No, I think the left will go absolutely bonkers. In the same way that Roe has fired them up.
Mm.
I think that these guys, it'll fire up young people. And I mean, they have made this cause celeb. So
yeah, it's their favorite issue.
Right.
It's the only one they want to talk about.
Right. And the way that they have presented this is a human rights and a civil rights issue. So I think that they would look at this as look at what they've done with Don't Say Gay. You're literally talking about kindergarten to third grade, not talking about sexuality. I mean, most kids don't have a clue what, half of the body parts they have are.
Right.
And we're saying, don't talk about sexuality. And people went nuts. Disney's putting out statements and corporations are trying to, if you literally made a ban, they'd go nuts.
Right. Going up to grade 12 or something. Yeah. I suppose that's true. Because, I mean, they called that Florida bill, the Don't Say Gay, they also called it the Wait Till 8. The idea that, hey, maybe just once. How about 9? Is 9
but
okay?
The thing that I find so funny is that, like, literally, as a parent, you're sitting here saying, you can't put your kid on the rides at an amusement park, and you're going, but I'd like to talk to you about sexuality. I mean, when you're done, can we get into financial planning? I mean,
Well, you'll never get that in any public school.
Whoa, slow down here. Hey, we got to figure it out.
Yeah, we got to take you over to the
There's some tax consequences about what we're talking about. You're not ready to hear this. There's a lot of,
I think you're right in the sense that, I do a campus tour with Young America's Foundation, and we ask the schools, is there any topic in particular that you think young conservatives really want to have addressed? 7 out of 10 times, the gender issue.
So
the gender issue, how many times are you going to talk about how boys are boys and girls are girls? I guess you have to do it a number of times.
It is crazy, the idea that... the thing that I find funny is that you have this juxtaposition where it's all about science, 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 and then you're like, wait a second. But you don't want to...
Like, of course.
Yeah. I'm constantly amazed. Yeah. January 6th will go down in history as the modern day Gulf of Tonkin.
Wow. There are layers to that question that I'm not sure Mr. Davies even fully appreciates.
Yes. And then you came across something on the internet and just put it. Right.
That's usually what he does.
He's like, I hope these guys explain what that means.
What is the guys? What is the Gulf of Tonkin? You got it right for me.
Yeah, and same. Because I think there is a same kind of thing when I was saying before about the parents and Hunter Biden. Like there is a sect among the left that might believe that. But I don't believe, and actually I would include a good chunk of the political media.
Yeah.
But I don't think beyond that's really accurate.
Right.
So if you quantified that question with a little bit more specificity, then maybe, but I just don't think the broader.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, because the thing that's interesting is that when you talk about historical dates, most of the time you can start to go beyond a generation and say, is that going to be taught? I don't know that, I do wonder what the next generation is going to be taught. It may be in some textbooks and it may be, but I don't know that it's going to resonate. I mean, you think, for me, 9/11 is obviously very personal. I was very close to the Pentagon. Serve in the military, but it's amazing how many people have lost the significance of that day, right?
Yeah.
And that was a direct attack on the United States. Thousands of Americans killed, a war that ensued for 2 decades, thousands more killed.
Sort of epoch shaping.
And I go, okay, if you lose the significance of that amongst a good chunk of the population, and I'm not trying to, but when you start to talk to folks, they still get it, but they may not have. And in 20 years, you start to realize how that faded. I do think January 6th doesn't have the same resonance.
Of course, and even this past year, on December 8th, I looked down at the clock, I said, yesterday was December 7th. And I did, because my grandfather fought in World War II. I was history buff. I always thought that was a really important date. And I thought, oh, I just totally missed it this year. And then, of course, 9/11 even. I mean, that one, I still pay attention to that one, but a lot of people don't really acknowledge it. And I think December 7th, September 11th, if you had the audacity to add the date January 6th right. to that, it would be a punchline of a very dark joke. Okay, that's absurd.
Right.
And it already kind of is a sort of punchline. Right. Oh, the January 6th. Yeah, I agree. Okay. I'm up. I keep, for every time it's me, I forget.
And you only had half of
me. So far. Can I get a refill, please? I'm going to be speaking in cursive by the end of this. A big reason the U.S. government wants to ban TikTok is because they're jealous that only China can use it to spy on you and they can't. So I'm going to, like, no, you're right in how I would answer. No, because they can spy on you.
All right, well, but also, I don't think the people that are banning, because it's members of Congress, I don't think there's a universal thought bubble. Mm. It spans different reasons. Although, by the way, my best, there's a Washington Post tech reporter who tweeted out that it's unbelievable that, and I'm butchering it a little bit, but I'm not far off, that basically he said, it's unbelievable that members of Congress are about to ban TikTok and most haven't used it. And I was just like, well, that's like saying that they're about to, like, most people are going to vote to go to war and they haven't fired a missile. I mean, that's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's a national security threat. You don't go, let's go use it first. let me just make sure they've got all my data, and then okay, good.
Yep, download they got it. Okay, they've got
good,
all my keystrokes.
Good. Now ban it.
Right.
I just don't give them that. Now there may be some again, but I don't think that's the prevailing.
I do wonder too if part of the pressure to ban it is a financial pressure from Silicon Valley that doesn't want competition.
Oh, that may be.
And
oh,
I'm
no,
sure
no.
part of that.
But I will tell you, the funny thing about it is, if that is, they're doing a bad job.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. If I were YouTube or Snap or any of these folks, I would be trying to push them out a little or egg it on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't get the sense that they are.
That's interesting.
Which I would if I were them. I'd pile on and be like, hey, they're not.
Yeah, the communists are taking everything. Right, yeah.
But the dirty secret, by the way, that I thought was hysterical, three things. One, when the CEO of Snapchat or TikTok testified, his talking points were written by a PR firm in D.C. that's closely tied to
Google, right?
No. Well, to Google, but also to Anita Dunn. She was a partner there. Hmm. It's a Democratic firm tied to Obama. Anita Dunn, his senior advisor, that she's on leave from that firm. This is right. Then, secondly, all of these media organizations, Playbook, Axios, Punchbowl News, they've all taken TikTok's money in the form of sponsorships. So you wonder why you haven't had.
Right.
It's and then the third thing that I think is interesting is when Trump didn't accept the intel community's warnings about Russia's interference, everyone on the left in the media went nuts and said, can you believe that Trump will not accept the warnings?
17 intelligence agencies.
And he is not accepting. And then when the FBI and the intel communities come out and say TikTok is a threat to national security, they go, well, you know, I mean, it's not. This isn't.
Pish-posh.
What's FBI? FBI.
It's different.
You know, it's different. I mean, it's amazing that they all freak out when it's the FBI. But when they all want to do it and it's their base and they're all getting money. Then it's like, you know, who are they to say anything? You know, it's amazing how it plays out. So that's what I think is interesting about that. This is interesting. I have not seen a card yet. This is fascinating as I go to read this. There's highlighter on two words. Hmm. Wondering what's going on here. A national divorce is both, that's one of the highlighted words, possible and likely the other highlighted word. So the two highlighted words that we must stress is that the national divorce is both possible, which I would have highlighted possible and likely.
Somebody wasn't really focused with their remedial highlighting.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of classes the Daily Wire
has. Mr. Davies failed the second grade.
I'm going to have to talk to Jeremy about this. But the national divorce is both possible and likely.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
No, it's just fake.
No, it's a separation.
It's a trial separation.
And I got to be honest with you. See, what's missing from this is an understanding of the prenup. That when the colonies were getting together, and this is something that, again, is just missing in history books, there was a prenup. And this is governing a lot of what's happening right now. And that's why there's not going to be a divorce, because the cost of the settlement would be too high and some of the custody battles that would ensue would be way too messy.
It's like, you know, when couples who don't like each other but they've been together for so long, they just kind of live separate lives.
Exactly.
Maybe it's under the same roof. Yeah, that's true. Now, I wonder, one could, if they really wanted to pursue this, a couple of mackerel snappers, probably not big on divorce, but there could be an annulment investigation. One could look into the nature of revolution.
By the way, I was watching this story the other day. I believe it's Oregon and Idaho, about how one part of one county is trying to join. And I was like, you know, that in itself I thought was fascinating. But you start to think of like a bunch of these states where you think of like Texas, right? So you've got Austin and then a bunch of more conservative parts around it.
Yeah.
Even think of Tennessee here, right? So you've got Nashville and then a lot of the rest of Tennessee. Pennsylvania's got this issue, right? Even Virginia to some extent. But like a lot of these states, so this idea of a national divorce, Georgia, you got Atlanta and the suburbs, and then the rest of Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't think that's why it's not possible. It's funny because within the states, there's very few that you've got this. I mean, yes, you've got your Californias and New Yorks versus, say, a Montana, South Dakota. But that's not...
How do you extricate these things?
Yeah.
You know, during the Cathar Crusade of, I believe, 1206.
Is it 1206 or 1207?
It keeps me up at night.
I don't want to call it out. But.
So the Catholics came down and there were these Cathars, you know, these crazy Albigensians who were destroying civilization. And I forget which military leader it was, just as I forgot if it was 1206 or 1207. And they go and they say, all the Catholics come out of the town, but the Catholics don't come out. So it's the Catholics and the Cathars are mixed up together. The good civilization and the people destroying civilization. And so he says, well, what do we do? And I think true, though it's become legendary line, is kill them all. God will sort it out. And I fear, you know, we're all kind of jumbled up together here. I don't want to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes there has to be a little bit of a mess and then things do sort of, like, that you go through a little bit of a family fight for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like if you think about, like, the 1970s and there's some periods in our nation's history, who knows, but where things are a little messy and then we eventually kind of come out on the other side. I'm hoping that's...
I think that happens. It's just, you know, you push through. We got the 7-year itch. You know, we've got the 167-year, I don't know, how old is the country?
Yes.
Older than that.
Yeah,
it's a little older than that. Okay, speed round and it's my turn.
Okay.
Michael Knowles would make it farther as a press secretary than he would in a dance competition, not necessarily because of his quick wit and knowledge of the political process, but rather because he's so used to lying to his producer about when he will arrive to set, and because his legs can barely take him up the stairs, much less keep an 8 count while holding onto a professional dancer for life. I'm sensing a little tension in these questions.
I went yes early.
Because
there was a little bit of a tell in that.
I would say you got it right.
I did. Okay, good.
And okay.
Clearly, I need a bib. I need a bib.
It's a very nice jacket.
Thank you. Yeah, it's on loan. This is going to be a problem. I don't know if the men's warehouse will take it back. Anyway, the Second Amendment will be abolished in our lifetime.
It might be nullified, though, I fear.
See, the thing is, I agree. Like, I don't know. The court may do something to your point, null. I don't think you're going to actually get rid over. I mean, I don't. It's such a hard time enacting amendments.
Yeah.
I don't. It would be almost impossible to get rid of one.
Yeah.
So you could get a liberal court that could interpret it in such a way that would reverse interpretations of it, but I don't see AP.
Yeah, I could see the sort of, well, the penumbras of the emanations of the penumbras say, you know, they meant a squirt gun or something.
Exactly.
The strongest candidate for the Democrats in 2024 would be Michelle Obama. This, of course, could be because of all the lib boxes checked. Michelle never accomplished anything meaningful politically. Virtue signals on every topic. Was only proud to be an American when they gained power, and would be, I'm not reading this. I'm not.
See, this is interesting because I don't know enough about. There are a lot of people who share this. Okay, I'm not gonna, because I don't want to.
There's one. Do you know the thing that's written here that
I? No, I don't. I don't.
It says would be the first trans woman of color to run for president. But then it says here, due to YouTube rules, make your guess, but do not verbally confirm if the other person guessed correctly. Give only an ambiguous nonverbal confirmation.
I actually lost the question.
Yeah, good.
But
good.
Here's what I would just say. Here's what I would just say on this. Mm-hmm. I think that just on the first part of this, I've heard enough people. Michelle Obama will never run for president. She's never wanted to run for president. She's expressed that over and over again. And I find people on the right who talk about this to just lack an understanding of how the, not this is the process, but I mean, she's not going to get drafted into doing this.
Yeah. I totally agree. I'm glad we didn't even move those glasses.
Yes.
Because people, they don't understand. If you've ever seen a presidential race, even somewhat like at a distance, but with any kind of intimacy, you know, it's a brutal, miserable.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
It consumes 2 years
correct.
Of your life.
And also, this is the thing. On any office, you have to want to do it. When people say, I'm trying to talk so-and-so into running, you can't, for any office, class president, you don't talk someone in.
Right. Mitch Daniels broke my heart.
This is a dumb question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
People who shame men for being short are nothing more than height supremacists.
Height Like,
it's
duh.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's an evil bigotry, and it should be eradicated.
What do you call that? The soft bigotry of low.
The short bigotry.
Yeah, this is.
By the way, Sean, when you said this is a stupid question, we could apply that to the whole game, to every single moment of the game. At this.
I feel bad for. I mean, I get the work requirement.
We don't. We haven't been using ZipRecruiter recently. We've been using a stick that we throw outside and find.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Ron DeSantis will be the Republican nominee in 2024.
You waited for me.
I did. You're correct.
You're incorrect.
I couldn't tell.
So here's the thing. Is it possible? Sure. I'm not ruling anything out. But I approach this from a place of logic. And the logic is that every state has a threshold, right? A minimum threshold that you have to get in a caucus in a primary. The minimum has always been 10%, some as high as 20%. That's part of the reason Trump won in 2016.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you're in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, whatever, if you don't get X percent, and like I said, minimum is usually 10%, then you get no delegates.
Yeah.
So right now, Trump and DeSantis are the only two people who would even qualify under the 2016 rules for any delegates. Trump has been actually going around working the state parties to raise their threshold and do this. Trump is going to have a six-month head start. He also has two cycles of data on every Republican voter and a ton more fundraising prowess. So for those reasons, the ability to say, I'm going to run a mile and give you a one lap head start is just a huge advantage.
The only reason I hedged a little bit here and thought you might say yes is just because you know the GOP kind of powers that be, you've worked around them, you know, and it seemed to me a lot of the established institutional powers on the right have been increasingly pro DeSantis. I didn't know if that.
Yeah,
was
and,
right.
and
but I agree.
That's
with
why
your analysis.
I'm saying I don't rule it out.
Yeah.
Right. So I'll give you my quick scenario. I think if DeSantis were to put all of his chips in Iowa or New Hampshire and strike a knockout blow.
Yeah.
By knockout blow, I mean I think if you beat the former president in one of those two states by 3%, 4%, 5%, I think that's a very significant hurdle to then overcome if you're Trump. And then it would set off a series of you know,
reconfigurations.
Yeah, but I think that that's what it would take, and that's a big, big you know, obstacle to overcome. So I think it's possible, but I just don't think it's likely. Yep. We've got a ways to go. There's a lot more that can happen. But again, so I'm not ruling anything out. I'm not saying it's, but it is Trump's to lose.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Okay, wait. Last question. No, this is yours.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No. I get that I'm the guest, but that was, you know, I mean, okay. Roughly 50% of Democratic congressmen are closet communists. Basically, Senator McCarthy was right.
Well, McCarthy was talking about the State Department, first of all. But, and he... Well, okay, how are we going to answer? Are we going to answer based on... This is a very poorly written question. Are we going to answer based on the congressman or the State Department bureaucracy?
I think it's... I think clearly the intent of the question...
Yes.
...is members of Congress.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Classic. Again, I'm doing the analysis here. I think that you have to look at the current. So you have 214-ish. I'm trying to do the math. So that gets you.
I was going to say 15.
Something like that. But it's still, you're looking at 107.
Yeah. You think I'm going to say they're commies, half of them?
Yeah. Are you?
Well, I was going to say no, but I don't know. Now you're kind of convincing me. No, I don't think they're commies. Did I get this right, by the way? You think they are commies?
No, I think that under the current math, that I probably think a third.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, there are like actual avowed socialist people. I just think for most of them, it's not that they're it's kind of like some people think the devil is under every rock. You know, it's like the devil's real, demons are real, but they're not under every single rock everywhere.
It's like a third.
It's like a third of the rocks.
And the pyramids.
And they're definitely under the pyramids. But when the Democrats, I think, some of them are avowed socialists and communists.
Right.
Most of them are just libs.
Right.
You know, and that's bad too.
No, I do think it's evolving that way. Yep. I do think that more and more each cycle are moving in a way that finds socialism an acceptable thing and don't think that that's wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we're there yet. And I think part of it is that because you've got so many older members of Congress, they're old school blue blood type Dems, that they're not there yet. But as they're getting replaced with the new younger ones, absolutely.
Well, as that moves in that direction, as we move toward this national... I don't know, what is it, separation or these commies
divorce.
Sort of taking over. Yeah, then we'll look forward to, as that approaches, filling this with something a little bit stronger.
Cheers, yeah.
In the meantime, though, go get this book.
Bravebooks.com.
Bravebooks.com. The parrots go bananas. Nice fruity drinks for a fruity
It actually, it matches. You know, think about that. That was very
look at that.
That is
well,
so...
Okay, we've been very harsh on the producers in this episode.
Yeah, but that's but very, that yeah, very I assume that was like, yeah.
The only compliment they're ever getting on the show. We'll see you next time on Yes or No.